Excellent, excellent. We're going to talk about that in just a second, but before we get there, we have a lot to cover in a very short amount of time, so I'm going to move very quickly. If today's your first time with us and I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are really excited to have you with us. You've walked into Hoboken Grace on a very unique Sunday. It's what I typically call the State of the Union. What we want to do today is we want to take a little bit of time to look back and then a little bit of time to look forward, looking back at what's happened over the course of this past year and then looking forward to what's in store for this upcoming year. And when we look back at this past year, it has been a remarkable year for us here at Hoboken Grace. Because as we look back, when it comes to those of us who are coming together on a Sunday morning to pursue God's love, to learn about God's love, to experience His grace, and to love Him as best as we possibly can, this past year, our average attendance has jumped to over 900 for the first time in our history, which is phenomenal. When it comes to loving our kids and loving the kids who are part of Grace Kids and being able to communicate to the little ones inside of our community the truth of how God has loved them and what God has in store for them, we have been able, on average, to share that with at least 140 kids every week this past year. 140 kids. If you're a parent here, there's a likelihood you don't have more than two. Now just imagine 140. It's a little crazy. When it comes to being able to share the message of Christ with someone for the first time, this past year, we've been able to share that message with someone for the first time with 556 people who've walked in here for the very first time this past year. That's something to celebrate. We have over 372 people who are actively engaged in service, pursuing what it means to be like Jesus. As Philippians 2 says, that you have that mindset of service, that you take on the mindset of a servant and serving as part of this body and serving the community and serving this family. Over 372. We have, when it comes to community, those who are actively engaging this journey together and understanding that we're better together, pursuing God together. We have over 522 people who are actively engaging God in that way. When it comes to how we serve the community, this past year, we've been able to, whether in a big way or a small way, we've been able to serve over 35,000 people. Over 35,000 people. When it comes to helping people to step into that relationship with Jesus, not just knowing who He is, but actually begin to pursue a relationship with Him, and then to take that public through the step of baptism. This past year, we've seen 85 people go public with the step of baptism, and we have six more. We have six more that are going to happen this morning. It's going to be, it's amazing when you look at what God's done over the course of this past year. Now, here's what I know about you, because I've gotten to know you a little bit over the course of the last 10 years. But here's what I know about you. You're not great at celebrating. I don't know what it is. We may have too many white people in the room, but you're not great at celebrating. That's just reality. I get to say that because, yeah. So, here's the thing, right? We need to make sure we don't just move past this. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and stand up. Go ahead and stand up. Now, I want you to turn to the people on both sides of you and give your best high five. Yes. Yes. Excellent. Excellent. You can be seated. Now, just a bit of advice. You should practice that more. I will tell you, you were drastically better than the first service. Drastically better. But I don't know that you should be proud of what I just saw. But we want to celebrate this. We don't just want to move past it. We don't want to take it for granted. I think I have kind of a unique perspective on this because of the fact that I'm a pastor's kid. So I watched my dad for years and years and years pray for God to move the way that we're watching him move. It doesn't always happen. And it's not something to be taken for granted. And so today, as we look back, I want to just take a second and just thank him for what it is that he's done. And how he's working and moving in our family, in our city, in our community. And so I've asked Anthony if he would come up and just join me in praying for that. Thanking God for who he is and for what he's made possible.
Absolutely. Will you pray with me? Father, this is a celebration, and you are a God who loves to celebrate. And so, Father, we realize that all of those numbers and this is made possible because of you, but each and every one of those people, each and every one of those numbers is a person who has found their way back to you. And we're so excited to see how we get to partner with you in order to make this happen. You could use anybody, but you said, you know what, I want to use these people. I want to use these individuals that are living here in this community to not only impact this community, but to impact the world. And for that alone, we are thankful. Father, we celebrate the things that have happened. We celebrate the lives that have been changed. We celebrate what you have done already, but we are also celebrating two things. One, what you're doing right now means we know that you are working. And number two, we cannot wait to see what you're going to do. So we sit here in awe, full of gratitude, and we cannot wait to see what's next. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And it's all because of Jesus that any of this is possible. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Father, we are, as Anthony said, we are in awe of what it is that you've made possible, of how you've allowed us to be part of your story. And Father, we do not take for granted what it is that you're doing. And we come to you in humility that you would allow us in any way to be a part of your story. And we say thank you. Father, we pray that you would continue to move in our community, that you'd continue to allow people to see who you actually are, to see past the lies that they've been told about you. And we pray that you continue to use us in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look back, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. God has worked in such amazing ways as we look back on this past year, and as we look forward, we have so much to look forward to. We have so much to look forward to, because as we walk into this next year, our team has grown tremendously. Our staff team has grown tremendously. I haven't actually taken the time to be able to introduce to you those who've come onto our team as in a full-time capacity here at Hoboken Grace. And so I want to do that really quickly. As we walk into this next year, our team has expanded to include Melanie, who's now our communications director, which frees up Rachel to be focused more on the Grace Kids area and loving those kids and to be able to communicate better to our community and to be able to communicate better as a family. We've brought James on board. He's the head of our outreach and assimilation department to be able to help us impact the community better, to help us love the community better, and to be able to allow Anthony to move into the care pastor position and to be able to care for our family better. We've brought on Casey, who's back in the booth, usually standing in the dark back there, to be able to help us communicate better on Sundays. That's the booth cheering for him. They never have an excuse to make noise. As a matter of fact, it's the only time they're allowed to make noise. But to be able to allow Dana to focus more on worship and helping us to love God well in the way that we worship, we brought Whitney on board to be able to help in Grace Kids as our Grace Kids assistant, to be able to help us love those kids better and care for those kids better. We're positioned to be able to love our community better than ever before, to be able to serve our community better than we've ever been. It's not even close as we walk into this next year. Also, as we walk into this next year, we have some powerful conversations in store. In just a couple weeks, we're walking into Be Rich. As we come out of that, we're going to be looking at global impact and how we impact not just our local community, but how we impact the world around us and what God calls us to do and to be inside of that. We're going to be looking at God's vision for your life and how we have a vision for our lives, but sometimes it doesn't align with His vision, and how to be able to bring His vision into alignment with our vision. We're going to be looking at stress and anxiety, this thing that is haunting our culture, and talk about how God calls us to step into it and how God calls us to address that inside of our lives. We're going to be talking about prayer and how do we get better in our conversation with Him. How do we live a lifestyle of prayer? Not where prayer is just something that we occasionally do, but it's part of our lifestyle. We're going to be looking at the freedom of forgiveness and talking about how we get past some of those things in our past that haunt us, that are debilitating in our lives. We're going to be talking about politics and how faith impacts politics and looking at the tricky conversation of how our faith impacts our responsibility as citizens. We're going to be looking at values and how God calls and shapes our values so that it shapes who it is that we become and the life that we lead. We have some really powerful conversations that we're going to walk through over the next year, and conversations that we believe that God has called us into. Some of them are really tricky, and some of them are difficult, but they're conversations that all of us need to have as we're looking at how to be able to follow Christ, how to be able to love Him, and how to be able to love the people around us. To be powerful as we walk through those conversations together. Even as you look at the next couple of weeks, we've got some really exciting things that are going to be happening. Next week, Grace Kids is moving from the second floor to the fourth floor. And all of those classrooms, those are Grace Kids workers. They're really excited because they've seen the new rooms and they're so much more open and they're going to be able to love the kids better. Next week, they move from the second floor to the fourth floor. Now, if you're a parent here, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, wait. I'm going to have to walk four flights of stairs four times every Sunday? You're looking at your spouse like you're in charge of check-in. No, listen, this is one of the things that many of you don't know. Our building actually has a second elevator. Beginning next week, there will be a new Grace Kids entrance that will be opening in the annex. This building has a building that's connected to it just north of it. It's all one building, even though from the outside it doesn't look like it, which is why most of you don't know that it's an entrance to this building. But you'll be able to enter there and take that elevator or enter over on this side and take this elevator back here up to the fourth floor. There'll be two elevators to get everybody up there easily and quickly. There'll be multiple check-ins up there for you to be able to check your kids in. The space is so much better. You're going to love it as soon as you see it. We're going to be able to love these kids so much better as we walk into this next year. Along with that, one of the things that we want to do is we want to take advantage of this incredibly ugly scaffolding around our building. Now, because of the fact that we're renters, we don't control that. But we found out the other day that it's going to be there for about a year, which we were really excited about. But we thought, okay, well, if it's going to be there for that long, why don't we take advantage of it? And so the stroller area that typically takes up part of our auditorium space, we're going to take that out, and we're going to ask for parents to lock their strollers along the scaffolding on the outside there. Now, here's the deal. If you don't have a lock for your stroller, we have one for you. We just purchased a ton of stroller locks for you to be able to use while you're here. Or if you invite somebody and they don't have a lock with them, we have one for them. And the greeters are going to have them there. It's just another way of preparing for those who are going to join us and loving people well, and then also creating more space for people to be a part of our services with us as well. Now, with the addition of that, it also means that we're going to have more doors, which means that we need more people who know how to smile. We want, you guys know, we work hard to make sure that every time you walk into this space that you are greeted, that you know that you are home, that you are welcome here. And we want to make sure that we're able to do that even as we expand to a new entrance and to several new doors. So here's the thing. If you're here today and you're not currently serving in some way, I want to invite you into the easiest way to get started serving. I want to invite you to become a greeter this fall. It's very simple. Just text GREET to that number. Okay, you see the number up there? Just pull out your phones. Go ahead, pull out your phones. Everybody pull out your phone. Just kind of wave it at me really quickly. You're going to need it. Believe me, you're going to need it. I've been telling you this week after week after week. Get that phone out. Right? Text greet to that number. You say, I don't know if I can be a greeter. Can you smile? Can you do this? It doesn't have to be pretty. Just this. And can you do this? Right? If you can do those two things, you've got it. You're ready to go. All right? Text. Don't just be a participant. All you're going to do is show up for a little while before the service starts and just welcome people. Right? It's great. I know for most of you, you can smile. There's like five of you that can't. I know. It's hard for me too. Okay? But for everybody else, you are qualified. Become a participant this fall, not just an observer. When we talk about what God's done, don't have it be something that you're just observing. Have it be part of how you're accomplishing the mission with us together. As we open up that new entrance, we're going to be able to love people really well in that way. In addition to that, you guys have seen, we're talking about the phone more and more and more. One of the things that you've already seen is how we're beginning to use text. We want to use text to help people take next steps. We want to use text more to be able to help people communicate better and for us to be able to communicate with you better. But then in addition to that, as we walk into September, we're taking the phone thing to a whole different level because beginning the second week of September, Hoboken is going to release our very own app. And so beginning the second week of September, you'll be able to download that app. With the release of that app, there are several things that are going away. Those little paper connection cards on your seat will no longer be there when you walk in, okay? You're going to be able to check in and be able to connect via the app or via text. Both of those will be available to you. The reason that we want to do that is because we want to love you better. And here's what, I know this may be difficult for you to hear, but you need to hear it, okay? We can't read your handwriting. It's awful. It's awful. I'm working with my kids, and I'm like, man, your handwriting is drastically better than most of the connection cards that I see. And so we want to be able to love you better. That means we need to be able to read what you're submitting. And so you'll be able to submit prayer requests on there. There's all sorts of different things that you're going to be able to do with that app. Inside that app, you're going to see our rhythms. They're going to be available there. One of the other things that's going to happen inside of the app is that those pens on the back of your seat are going away. And the best way for you to be able to take notes moving forward is inside the app. And you're going to be able to take notes on the passages that we're talking about, and then you're going to be able to email them to yourself. This means you're going to be able to keep those notes instead of just throwing them away on Wednesday. And you'll be able to reference back to those notes in the future, which is something that we've wanted to see happen here at Hoboken Grace for about 10 years. And the best way for you to be able to do that is using that app. You'll also be able to save them to Evernote and a lot of different other ways for you to be able to track and maintain those notes. Also, along with it, our Bible reading plan is going to be available on that app. So you'll be able to continue that Bible reading plan with us throughout the year. We're going to build reminders into it that you can opt into or opt out of when it comes to your Bible reading plan and engaging God through His Word. Beginning September 2nd, that's going to be available to you. Also, with the kids moving to the fourth floor, Next is going to move to the second floor. So it's going to be really easy for people to be able to join Anthony for that conversation about the next steps that they're taking. We're building out a brand new and improved team room on the second floor for those of you who serve on Sunday mornings so that we can love you better as well. We've got so many different things to be able to celebrate when we look back. We've got so many different things to be able to look forward to as we move into this next year. It's going to be a powerful year. And all of it is driven by one thing, to help people find their way back to God. Whether it's your first step or your 10,000th step, to help people find their way back to God. Because you see, here's the thing. We understand that we are indebted to those who don't know who Jesus is. There's a passage. Many of you may have never heard it before. It's found in Romans, but it's a passage that people just kind of read past. I want to take you to it. Paul's talking about his journey, and God's using him to speak into our journey as it pertains to the mission. And Paul says something really interesting in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. He says this. He says, I am obligated both to the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to those of you who are in Rome. That word obligated is actually best translated indebted. Paul says, you have to understand something. I live with a debt. I am indebted. And he says, I'm indebted to the known and the unknown world alike. I'm indebted to the wise and the foolish alike. He says, I carry a debt. Now, what is he talking about, this debt? He's not talking about financial debt, because later on in the book of Romans in chapter 13, he says specifically, owe nothing to anyone when it comes to financial debt. So what is it that he's talking about when he says, I'm indebted? It's exactly what we talked about last week. You see, Paul knew that God had come for him. Paul knew that it was only because of grace and mercy that he even knew who Jesus was. Paul knew how God had stepped into his life and had saved him. But Paul realized that God hadn't just saved him so that he could enjoy his salvation. He realized that God had come for him in order for him to go to others. Listen to what he says just before he talks about being indebted. Romans chapter 1, beginning at the very beginning of the book, verse 1, it says, this letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ, chosen by God for what purpose? To enjoy his love? Chosen by God so that I could be saved. No, chosen by God so that I could know his mercy, so I could know who he is. No, listen to what he says. Chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. Paul says, you see, I realize God didn't step into my life just for me. God didn't show me what he showed me, and he didn't speak into my life in that way just for me to enjoy it. No. I've been given something that now I'm indebted to give to the world around me. And the truth is, not all of us are chosen to be apostles, but every single one of us is chosen to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. The mission to seek and to save the lost is given to every single one of us who has stepped into a relationship with Jesus. We talk about it week after week after week that God is pursuing you, but God is not pursuing you just for you to know his love. God is not pursuing you just for you to enjoy his salvation. He's pursuing you, and he has pursued me to take that message to the world. And Paul says, I live with a debt. And I'm indebted to the world around me. I owe them what I've been given. As you watch the screen behind me today, you can see our neighbors and coworkers, those who walk the streets of our community. We are indebted to them. To take the message of Jesus to them. To share with them what we've been given and what we've been allowed to see. We are indebted to them. And as we walk into this next year here at Hoboken Grace, we have a unique opportunity because of the fact that as we continue to grow and as God continues to increase our influence inside of our community, we have a unique opportunity to shape the way that our city understands who God is. A unique opportunity to shape how they think church should work and what church should look like. And it's more than just an opportunity. We are indebted to them. And as we walk into this next year, we want to embrace that. We want to embrace that as best as we possibly can. Beginning with the Be Rich conversation. Now, I know for some of you, you're thinking, wait. What does the Be Rich conversation have to do with shaping how people think about God? That's actually a big part of the problem. Because you see, we think that finances and God are separate, that there's no connection between the two. But the reality is this. The reality is we live in a world where we are consumed by riches. We live in a world consumed by riches, a culture that's consumed by riches, and yet we are living incredibly poor lives. Phenomenally poor lives. Just a couple weeks ago, the numbers came out for where we are as a culture or as a nation. In quarter number two, household debt climbed to $13.3 trillion. You have no idea what that number means. You can read it, and you can try to wrap your mind around it, but you have no idea what that number actually means. It's just a concept to you. That's how big it is. And it's not just the total that's disturbing. About that number, 13.3 trillion, is about 618 billion higher than the most recent peak in 2008. For those of you who don't remember, 2008 wasn't our best year. It's also up 454 billion from a year ago. When you look at the numbers more specifically, when it comes to the people who are around us, the studies tell us that 2% of our culture is bankrupt or worse. In other words, it's not just that they're going to declare bankruptcy, it's that even after they declare bankruptcy, they're never going to be able to get out of it. 16% are bankrupt or no mortgage, no margin. In other words, they haven't necessarily declared bankruptcy yet, but they're just paying off the debtors. They're just avoiding the calls long enough. Some of you know what I'm talking about because it's the life that you're living. And you're blocking number after number after number after number. 70% are broke, living paycheck to paycheck. And it would only take one major emergency to bury them. Only 12% of our culture is debt-free. If you look at it closely, that means 88% of people are basically living paycheck to paycheck, hoping something bad doesn't happen. They have no safety net. They have no ability to be able to step into need when they see it. They can't help their friend. I'm talking about the culture that's been given more than anyone else who's ever lived. That's the culture I just described. I'm not talking to you about a poor culture. I'm talking to you about a culture that's been given more than anyone else who has ever lived. We're consumed with riches, but we are living a poor life. We are living a poor life. And you say, well, you know, that's just the country as a whole. That's not just that's not here. I mean, here it's a little bit different. I've told you this, and I will continue to tell you this over and over and over again. Whenever you say, no, we're the exception, you're the fool. Anytime you say, I'm the exception, you're the fool. Make no mistake about it. That's not just true about the country. That's true about this room. That's true about this room. 88% of you. 88% of us. It would just be one major emergency, and it would bury us. Or we'd take on debt that we'd been working out of for years. It was amazing to me as we were hiring different people over the course of the last year. There were so many people who wanted to step into these positions, but because of their debt, they had to be paid so high that as a church, we couldn't possibly compensate them at that level. It had nothing to do with what they actually wanted to do with their life. It had nothing to do with their needs. It had to do with the debt that they were carrying. And it's not just true somewhere else. It's true here in this room. So let me ask you something. What are we going to do about that? Is that what God wants for us? Is that the life Jesus gave his life on that cross for us to live? So what are we going to do? About a year ago, I was preparing to give a conversation on giving and to talk about giving. And as I prepared for it, I became incredibly convicted. Convicted that I was teaching you just part of what God has for you when it comes to your finances. And that we were going to walk through this giving conversation and it was going to leave you worse off than when we started. Because of the fact that I hadn't taught you all of what God has for you when it comes to how to manage your finances and how to be able to engage them in a spiritually healthy way. And so we began as a leadership team to talk about how do we teach people to do that. It's not enough to just stand up here and say what we should do. We need to talk about how to do it. It's not enough for me to just stand up here and say, well, this is what you should do. No. It's my job to help you to know how to do it. It's up to you with whether or not you're going to do it. And we began to look at, well, how do we help people really do this? And the more that we looked at it, the more that we came back to this idea of Financial Peace University. We came back to it over and over and over again because of the fact that it was having such an amazing impact on our family already. But then beyond that, the thing that was so powerful for it for us was that it wasn't just impacting people's lives financially. It was impacting people's lives spiritually. It was really helping people understand what God has for them when it comes to their finances. I want to share with you another story today. It's a story of someone who actually took FPU with me. Not that I was teaching it, I was taking it. Because I wanted to be able to continue to grow in this way myself. I want you to be able to hear her story and how God used this process in her life. Check it out.
I was not good with my money. Not only was I not good with my money, but I had never related my money to God. They were two completely separate things, and I never knew that they could be one. I was spending my time spending money. Like, that's all I did. I just wasn't worried about how much, about saving. I wasn't worried about what the next paycheck would look like. It would just come and go. I had $14 and some change in my bank account to last me for 2 weeks. And sorry. I realized that wasn't a life. And I had nothing at that point. I was in a new city with new people, I had lost my grandma, I had a new job, I was completely at the lowest. I could not believe that I was supposed to make $14 last 2 weeks. And there was nobody I could go to for help at that point. the best thing happened after that. I Googled churches. I drove here the next day, and it was the day before FPU started. That was my first day here. And so I took FPU. I didn't have anything else to do if I wasn't doing anything with $14 in my account. The first weeks, it was structured, but it was just in such a good way. Like, you had to follow these steps and it was going to bring you peace. And that was something that was very hard to believe in a world where I had so many credit cards in the past. I had debt and I just couldn't see getting out of it being so easy. And in less than a year, about to the dot of me starting FPU, I paid off student loan and I paid off 7 credit cards. It was about $12,000 that I paid off in debt. It's the best feeling, and I never thought that having no credit cards could give me this much, like, joy. I never thought that money would bring me to God, or to grace, which was something that I just didn't know before. I was always, I always considered myself a follower, but I never had that relationship, and I never thought that my lowest point would be money in my life. And that I would need so much grace from there on. And just giving myself grace in all parts of my life after that. And so I got baptized during the Christmas service. And it's the best day of my life till today. So the fact that I never thought that God would reach out to me and speak out to me through money. I feel just stable, which is something so important in any lifestyle. And I feel like there's a goal and there is peace at the end when you know that you are doing God's work with your money in the correct way. No matter where you are in your life, even if you think you're really good with money, just having that relationship between money and God will change your life. And it's not your money anymore. And that's the best feeling. It's baby steps that you can use every day towards the biggest goal, which is being able to give back, which is something that I've always wanted to do and never thought I would be able to. I love FPU. I just cannot stop talking. Good thing I could go on forever about FPU. I love it. Do it. It's worth it. It's gonna be okay.
That's why we have to do it. And it's stories like that, and stories like my story, and how it improved my relationship with my wife and our communication around finances that brought us to the point where we said, no, this isn't just a nice thing. This is something that we believe that God is leading us to do together as a family. For us to be able to engage this journey with Him in such a way that the world can see that God, when it comes to finances, does not want something from us, but He has something for us. And that they've been lied to about Him in that way. And that He has something phenomenal for them, and He wants for them to know what it is to be free of how money can destroy us. Whether it's because we're consumed with just having more, or whether it's because we don't know how to manage it, or whether it's because we don't know how to talk about it. They need to be able to see what He has for them. And so as we walk into this fall, we're walking into this together. Here's how it's going to work. We have 74 groups. All of our groups, there are not groups who are going through other things. All of our groups are walking through the Be Rich curriculum, the FPU curriculum, together. They're going to come together for 9 weeks for about an hour and a half to 2 hours every week. And during that time, you're going to watch the curriculum from Dave Ramsey, and then you're going to be able to talk through, okay, what does this look like? How do we put this into practice? Now, I know some of you are afraid. You think, man, I'm going to have to share my personal finances. No, you're not. We're talking about principles. You're not going to have to share any of that. Some of you are here and you say, man, I'm too far gone. There's no way I'm going to be able to recover. You have no idea what God can do when you begin to follow Him in any aspect of your life, including your finances. And we have experts who can come alongside of you and to be able to help you walk through this journey. And one of the things that we're really excited about is we know as we walk through this, there are going to be some great needs that arise, but there's also going to be a process where those of us who've been given much are able to live rich lives and actually meet those needs. And for us to be what the church was meant to be. You're going to come together on a weekly basis like that. You say, well, I'm not going to be able to be there every single week. It's okay. We're going to have Sunday groups where you can come and make it up. If you missed, you'll also be able to watch online. We understand work's going to take you in a lot of different directions. We ask that people can be there at least 6 of the 9 weeks. But even if you say, my work travel, I just can't. We have online groups that you can be a part of. There's ways to be able to do that. Don't allow that to keep you from signing up to be a part of one of these groups. As you be like I said, as we walk through this, the teaching is taught by Dave Ramsey, but these aren't Dave's principles. We're walking through biblical principles. In addition to that, we're not just talking about this in groups. We're going to be talking about it on Sunday. I'm going to be talking about these principles on Sunday. The second week of September, I'm going to launch this thing. We're going to talk about it on Sunday morning. Then the groups are going to begin meeting. On Sundays, we're going to talk about something else for about 4 weeks, and then we're going to come back for the last 5 weeks that you meet. And those 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about those principles every single Sunday for us to be able to follow him and love him in this way. We're also going to be talking about this in Grace Kids. For those of you who are parents, don't get to the end of this, and your kids know more about money than you do. Okay? We're going to be talking about this inside of Grace Kids. And I know there are some people that I've interacted with that other people are telling me about. They haven't actually said this to me, but there are some people who are saying, no, I've taken it before. I'm good. Really? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be like Jesus. What if Jesus was just like, you know what? I'm good. I'm with the Father. I'm good. What if Paul was just like, you know what? God saved me. I'm good. You wouldn't be here. Is that really what it means to be like Jesus? When you receive something from him, it's not just for you. It's for you to give it to the people around you. I'm not asking you to get into these groups just for you. I'm asking you to get in these groups to be able to impact the people around you. You say, no, I'm good financially. I'm doing great. Good. Get in these groups and help the other people. Are you really going to be okay with 88% of your family struggling while you just do your own thing? There is no way that can be okay. We're going to jump into these groups. We're going to walk through this together. And here's the thing. Here's my deal with you, okay? If you jump into one of these groups, you buy the curriculum, you attend for 9 weeks, you do the homework, you get to the end of it and you say, it didn't really impact me, we'll give you your money back. I'll take the loss on the curriculum. And it isn't going to happen. But you can take me up on it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you right now to text groups to this number. When you text that number, you're going to get a link back. It's going to give you 3 different choices: men's groups, women's groups, couples groups. You're going to choose one of those 3 things. Go ahead, take your phone out now. You're going to choose men's groups, women's groups, or couples groups. Then you're going to look at which day works best for you, and you're going to sign up. Okay? Go ahead, take your phone out, text that number. Guys, you can go ahead and bring the music up. Okay? Go ahead and text it, select one of those 3, and then join your group. I'll wait. Wait. Some of you are looking at me like, wait, are you for real? Let me clarify something for you, because I think some of you are a little... You misunderstand this, okay? Let me make something very clear. I'm not just a teacher. I'm not just here to talk to you about what God says and inform you. And I'm definitely not an entertainer. I'm a pastor. That means it's my job to help you take steps. I'm not interested in just telling you about steps. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in helping you actually take the step. And you need to do this. So I'll wait. Talk with your spouse if you need to figure out which day works best for you. That's fine. You feel free to do that.
I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again.
Okay. If you're signing up, just keep signing up. Go ahead, keep going. You're fine. Now, here's what you do after that. You've signed up for your group. Now you need to purchase your curriculum. Again, we've made this really easy. You can just text FPU to that same number, and they'll send you back a link where you can purchase that. Now, you say, what is it that we're purchasing? We're not just asking you to pay $88 to be a part of a group. We're asking you to purchase the curriculum that goes along with this. You're going to get the book that goes along with it. You're going to get access to the online materials and access to the online videos. In addition to that, one of the really valuable things that you get with this is that you have access for 1 year to the Every Dollar app, which I think, and I tell all of our premarital couples about, is the best budget tracking app out there, period. And that costs $99 a year. And all we're charging for this curriculum is $88. We've negotiated that down. We're not making any money out of this. We're passing it along to you for exactly what we paid for it. Now, if you're here and you say, I don't have $88, we have scholarships for you. Do not let money keep you from this. When Diane's telling her story, she had only $14. She couldn't afford this. But we helped her to be able to walk through it. And we want to be able to help you too. Now, after you buy your curriculum, after you register or purchase your curriculum, then you can go back to the table and pick it up. If you purchase it right now in the service, they're going to have your name back there at that table. You can pick it up, and you are ready to go. And you are ready to experience what God has in store for us as we walk into this fall. Don't miss it. And as we walk into this, this is not just about us. The other thing that I want you to do after you've signed up for that group and after you've purchased the curriculum is that I want you to think through three people that you're going to invite to join you. And you say, oh, no, my neighbors are good financially. No, they're not. Stop believing that lie. They absolutely are not. Those numbers I said earlier are true about your neighbor too. I don't care how big their house is. Because the chances are they bought a house that was too big and too expensive. They bought in Hoboken. They bought a house that was too expensive. Invite them to be a part of it. It was really amazing as we were preparing for this. Our Tuesday night groups needed a place to meet. And so we went to the Monroe Center where our office is, and we said, hey, listen, we want to be able to hold these groups. It's called FPU, what we're doing. And he said, whatever room you want. Because I love what Dave Ramsey teaches, and I love how he helps people experience financial freedom. Whatever room you want. Your neighbors know about Dave Ramsey. They know about him. But for many of them, they've never actually taken the step to walk through FPU. Invite them to be a part of it. They're going to be excited. Don't be hesitant. Let me ask you something. Do you believe God wants something from you or something for you? For you. And a big part of how we get to shift the way that they see him is helping them to see that and experience that. Invite them to be a part of it with you. We are indebted. We are indebted to the world around us. Paul said, I'm indebted to the known and the unknown world. And he looked at Rome, he said, I'm indebted to you. You are my people. When you watch the people who are walking on this screen, those are our people. The people of Weehawken and Hoboken and Union City and Edgewater, those are our people. North Bergen, Jersey City, those are our people. And we are indebted to them. As we walk into this fall, we have so much to look forward to. So much to look forward to. We have an incredible opportunity to shape how people understand who he is. We have to embrace the debt that we've been given because we've been given his amazing mercy and love and grace. Father, we come to you and we are overwhelmed by what we've been given. But as is the case financially, even spiritually, we tend to take what we've been given and consume it rather than learning how to live a rich life, learning how to be able to give that and bring that to the world around us. Father, I pray that as we walk into this next year, that we would live rich lives. That we would take what you've given us, whether it's your love, the truth of who you are, your grace, your mercy, your resources, that we would take it and demonstrate your love to the world around us. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you've done. We thank you for how you've used us. And we ask you, we beg of you, to continue to do just that for the world to see who you actually are. In Jesus' name. Amen.